Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hello, America. It's so good. We're here at AmFest still. And, you know, all the way we travel, all the way to Phoenix, Arizona, so I can meet my neighbor. He lives just around the corner. His studio is around the corner. You've heard of him. It's Dr. Lance Wallnau. He's one of the handful of people that recognize Donald Trump as a spiritual movement, not just a human being, not a billionaire, you know, not all those things. But he said, look, this guy may be Cyrus. Here's the man who came up with the concept of the seven mountains as explained in the Bible and brought it to modern times. I've been on Lance's show. Lance, it's a privilege to have you on Pirate Money Radio.
Great to have you here. You've been on my show, as I recall, when your book came out. And so, we have to come all the way from Dallas to Phoenix. But why couldn't you be meeting in Florence, Italy? Why do we have to go to Phoenix? So,
you know, the weather's not been bad here.
No,
it's
actually
been nice.
This is the time to be here.
The people are great. Are you having fun here at the
I am,
AmFest?
But you know, it's a bit of an overstimulus. I mean, you can hear by the, I don't know if you get the ambient noise out there, but when you're at one of these events, it's like you're at the, reminds me of the boardwalk in New Jersey. If anybody ever grew up in New Jersey, you're walking down and every single little cubicle is trying to get your attention. Everybody is beautiful in a way because they're all trying to get your attention for one aspect of a movement that you agree with. So,
yeah, no, and the excitement of young people. See all the young people here that are thrilled with conservatism, they're Christian and based. We talked to Christian educators. It really is exciting.
And I said to my wife, Annabelle, last night when we're listening to some of the sound, because I'm doing interviews here while speakers are on the main stage. There's like 15,000 people here. So I said, what's interesting is youth, when they're responding in an audience, is so different than an adult audience like that you have on HBO or a Netflix special. It's screaming young people, and it throws you off. It's like having youth camp or something at a church. It's like, all this young energy. I'm thinking, Annabelle, do you hear that? I'm not used to that. Like, that's like TikTok energy out there.
You know, it's kind of like what the Beatles must have felt when they were on stage.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's young shrieking. It's girls shrieking. It's like, what is this?
But they're shrieking over liberty. They're shrieking over returning to sound
the
principles.
The punchline is about freedom of speech. You know, it gives you goosebumps when you realize that's what they're yelling about.
Yeah, no, they're excited about it. You know, you've got a great family. We've gotten to know your family a little bit. Your daughter got married and exciting things ahead there.
Yeah. And so the question is, and here's the thing I want to talk about with the audience today. When I was in, I went to Mar-a-Lago shortly after the victory and was there. And as I was sitting there, I felt like I heard, we have to turn this moment into a movement.
Moment to a movement.
That's the theme. And so even when I'm here speaking, I'm going to challenge the group to say, what are we doing? You know, in the Bible, Elijah cast his mantle on Elisha. And when he did it, Elisha understood the symbology of it. He understood something significant had happened. And he was going to slaughter his oxen. He wants to go, tells the prophet, let me go back and say goodbye to my parents and kill the oxen. And Elijah makes this very mysterious response. He said, what have I done? What have I done? It's, to me, it's the haunting power of a real prophetic that says, it's up to you to have the discerning to know what just happened. I just did something. What is it? So, Kevin, that's the question I want to ask you. We had a November 5th victory.
Right.
I think that what I'm hearing a lot of people doing here is kind of celebrating and reiterating stump speeches and why are we a movement, et cetera. But I want to ask the key question. How do we turn this moment into a movement? What is it that God did on November 5th? If you had to define it, what have I done? How would you define it?
All right. We were together in Atlanta praying before the president, before the election. I remember that. Very, very well. Marnie was there with us and she had her hat on and everything. I've seen the iconic pictures that Mercedes gave us about that. It starts with prayer. So what do we start? We've started a prayer movement. We've recognized that America cannot survive alone without God. That was the moment when President Trump got shot and we realized that was a miracle. So we recognize God. So it reminds me of the story of Dunkirk. At Dunkirk, they started with prayer. It's not in any of the movies. It's not in the Darkest Hour, the Dunkirk movie, but King George VI called for prayer from all the people, and they prayed, and God did miracles. So we prayed. God's done his part. It's a miracle, saving Trump's life and putting him in office. Now we have to do the hard work. And that was the little ships. That was the Dunkirk. They had to send those little ships over and get people off of the Dunkirk beach and take them home. We need to realize this isn't a government solution. It's a little ship solution.
Ooh,
so
I like
you ask
that.
What we do. It's the individuals and our actions. We just had LifeWise Academy that I just interviewed here, and they're taking kids from school during school hours on buses to church and educating with the Bible. Part of what we have to do is reinvigorate the nation with biblical truths. And it's taking little ships to do it, or in their cases, little buses. And they're but it is at an individual level. It's not, we've done our part. We elected the right people. We got to realize that's never, ever, ever going to work. They thought they had the right guy in King Saul. We elected the right guy. They didn't elect him, but God put in, oh, he's the right guy. Never works. It's got to be individual people taking individual responsibility. Reinvigorate the Bible, go to repentance, stand up for truth. It's the little ship. So that's my answer.
Yeah, and I would add to that that the only difference in the metaphor is they were doing it to keep their army from being annihilated by the Nazis who had a superior game plan.
That's right.
In our case, we're landing on Normandy. And we've taken Normandy on November 5th. All of our little ships showed up. And we overwhelmed. It was too big to rig. We swarmed the system. But now we got to go to Berlin. And you can't camp there at Normandy and say, look at what we did, and then start going back to, let's go back to Britain now. I guess we're here.
Yeah.
We actually have to go all the way into Berlin.
You have to blend the two, because if we do it only with the professional soldier, we're in trouble. That's the beauty of Dunkirk. That's why when you come out to Liberty Hawk, you don't visit the Dunkirk Retreat Center. You visit the Dunkirk Advance Center, because wars are never won by retreat. They're won by taking ground. But it's going to be individuals called by God in their respective areas to take that ground. And we cannot rely on the government. We cannot rely on the professional. We have to do it as believers in Christ.
And let me cue off of that believers part. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will build my ecclesia. Now, I'm of the opinion that the reason why South Korea, the reason why I'm looking at countries that are losing it right now, or almost lost it, or Australia, case in point.
France, they have a no confidence vote.
And I would say
going around
that
the world.
What no sociologist, no historian, no scholar has done yet is connected the dots between the engagement of an awakened church outside of its own four walls, in government, in legislation, in the courts, in media, so that if you don't develop a legislative, a litigative, and a public opinion shaping factory out of your salt and light language, then you're allowing other people to occupy that space. And before you know it, the precious freedoms that you have become underground freedoms.
That's what you get with a central bank digital currency. That's what you get with the Federal Reserve printing excessive amounts of money. So you know about our movement. You've had me on your show talking about pirate money. That is a grassroots, state-by-state movement. Now in 30 states, people are activated. I mean, while we're walking by here, the General Flynn walked by and waved at me. But then we have also the individuals. He says, I hear you on the radio and I want to be part. What are you doing in Michigan? How do I get involved? That's the activation we need at the individual level or the small group level or the church level to take America back where God intended, where the founders intended.
All right, so if you were doing the elevator pitch for my audience, I'm going to play these segments for my people that when I have you on my show. So give me so what are you proposing?
We're proposing a personal gold standard, state-issued gold and silver, just like the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, so that you're not reliant on paper dollars. You know, when your work gets tested, it gets tested by fire, it says in the Word of God, and fire, pure gold and silver are pure, and they remain. But what gets burned up? Wood, hay, and stubble. And what is paper money made out of? Wood, hay, and stubble. All right, we're going to have to take a break with Lance Wallnau. We're going to come back and we'll talk a little bit more about pirate money, all the exciting things that he's doing. He knows President Trump and President Trump knows him, which is exciting. We'll be right back at Pirate Money Radio with the great Dr. Lance Wallnau.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
We're talking with Lance Wall now here. We're at AmFest. We're neighbors, and we got to come all the way to Phoenix to get together. We were in Georgia. We had a beautiful dinner in Georgia.
Actually, we met in Georgia, though we live in Dallas. Now we're in Phoenix meeting again, but we live in Dallas.
Yeah, that's right. But we're talking, President Trump's going to be here at AmFest tomorrow, and
right.
You know him. I mean, he saw your, you gave prophetic words early on. USA Today or one of the papers said, you're one of the few people that recognized him early on.
Before it became a prophet's cottage industry to cover politics. That was 2015. So it was when he was running against Huckabee.
That's
and
10
ben
years
Carson.
Ago.
And yeah, and Rubio and Cruz. Everybody had a favorite Catholic or Christian in the game, including Mike Pence was still running. And you know what? What the Lord said is so characteristic of how God is. He's so unreligious. He said, Donald Trump is a wrecking ball for the spirit of political correctness. That's the one. That's the 45th president will be Cyrus. So I look up the Bible, Cyrus, and I realize it's not a Jew. And I'm thinking God's winking at us saying, you think I'm going to pick a Christian, don't you? You think the evangelicals are going to get their favorite little, their version of a pope in office? Not going to be. I'm going to take that guy that slays, that Philistine slaying machine up there in Queens, New York. He's the guy. And that was unpopular. It was unpopular till he won. And then when he won, everybody became a prophet on Trump. And I stopped prophesying that. But what I went on to was this. If we don't occupy government, media, business, recover the economy, and academia, we are up against something that is bigger than and will last longer than Donald Trump. So we have to work on the business of culture. And I think we almost are at a point now where people agree with that.
Yeah, you know, I was there at the United in Purpose rally. They had 1,000 evangelicals meet Donald Trump, and your mutual friend Ken hosted that. And Dr. Ben Carson, few people remember that they had to add Ben Carson to it to get Christians to show up because, like, I'm not going to go see that foul-mouthed New Yorker.
Actually, I didn't know that backstory.
Yeah, no, they had to add Dr. Ben Carson and invite you because, I can't. And you see now, and they call it Christian nationalist.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking Barry Maguire. You may know Barry, the
Barry's
car
a good
wax
friend.
Guy. Yeah. And he said, it's a nationalist Christian. The noun is Christian. That's the operative word.
I like it. I'm not a Christian nationalist. I'm a nationalist Christian.
Exactly.
Woo, very nice.
Yeah. So you led that movement. You were my neighbor then. I didn't know it. We actually met at the Trump International. Kelly Kohlberg introduced us at the Trump International like 2016 or something. But I was watching you on video and I was like, who is this guy talking about Donald Trump? At first, it seemed crazy to me.
It was.
And then it seemed prophetic. And then it seemed obvious. You know, and that's progression
a
progression we go through.
First, it seems crazy.
Yeah.
So a lot of people still think I'm crazy because then the problem is whatever you talk about next sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Until it's obvious.
Yeah. And it became obvious. And now believers, this is a whole convention. 20,000 people are here talking. You'll hear the Trump rallies and the roars, but you want to get them to really get excited. You talk about Jesus and then it explodes because these people put Jesus first. Now, that's why they're Christians. And there's a modifier. They're Trump supporting Christians.
Right.
They're not Christians supporting Trump.
I love that, nationalist Christian. I will now, you taught me something there, and Barry gave me something. So here's what the next iteration of crazy is. Ready?
Okay.
So I started off in 2016. Donald Trump is a modern-day Cyrus. 45th president of the United States will be an Isaiah 45 man in office. I hung out with prophets in 2020 because I didn't have a sense that I didn't have a settled sense that he was going to be in. And so I wanted to be around people that really felt that he was. But I couldn't
like
say
Kim
it.
Kim Clement and others
well,
like
Kim
that.
Kim was dead by that point, so I didn't have the benefit of him talking to me.
But didn't he prophesy about Cyrus?
Well, he prophesied Trump should be a trumpet, and then, you know, when he comes into office, he's going to be a man, then disconnected from Trump, another part of the prophet. He's like Nostradamus.
Yeah.
You have to
piece it together.
And I told him that when I had dinner with him. I said, you're Nostradamus. When you're gone, they'll be piecing your prophecies together and creating a construct for whatever. A meteor just hit the earth. Kim Clement said that 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So, but the reality is that the next big thing, it won't be Trump. It's going to be sheep nations and goat nations that get ready for it. They're going to say I'm crazy. But Trump is here during the era of global shaking. If you look at what's happening in Germany and with their government, look at what's happening in France. I'm going to talk about it tonight.
Yeah.
Look at what's happening in South Korea. Look at what's already happened to Australia in terms of liberty and freedom of speech. But then you look at El Salvador and Argentina and the United States.
Right.
Look at what's collapsing in Canada. You now have nations, as Haggai prophesied, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken, which goes right to your business of the silver is mine and the gold is mine, articulated in two chapters right there in the prophecy on shaking the earth at the end times. So where we are now is nations are being shaken, but what are they being shaken down to? Whether or not they have foundations that can preserve sovereignty as a nation or the sovereignty of an individual. And what you're fighting for is the sovereignty of the nation and the individual through preserving their currency so they don't lose that sovereignty by having to collapse into a government-controlled economy that controls them. And so this sheep nation, goat nation, is where Jesus comes back in Matthew 25, and every nation is gathered, and there are two types. There are those that were organized, mobilized, and worked together for the persecution of his people, and those that did not overtly work with others for the persecution of individual liberty or for the persecution of his people. So to me, I look at this right now and say, sovereign nations must reassert their spiritual foundations because the church alone can do this. If you don't have an ecclesia, hell will take you down.
You know, there's no question in the scripture that God judges nations at the end. You read that. They're nations. It's not, they try and set up a one world government, and that's ungodly. God deals with nations. Do we have sheep and goat states in America? And are we seeing the red kind of
consume
them?
Are we not seeing that now? Yeah. Are we not seeing sheep and goat cities?
Yeah, exactly. So what do we do there? How do we take and make America a sheep nation?
And that goes right to your point earlier in the first part of our interview. You get the small boats. You see, everybody fixates on Donald Trump. I can't tell you how many people have something that they want to get to me to get to Donald Trump, but they want to be able to deliver it. It's like, well, just give it to me. Well, no, I needed to give it myself. Oh, what you're really saying is you just want to have a moment with Donald Trump. So what we have to do is forget about the federal government. It's, you can't boil the ocean. You can only cast your little vote for what you're going to do. And there's 80 million of you out there. But on a local scale, you have disproportionate influence. So now you go down to the county clerk office, you go down to the mayor office, you go down to the local school system. Now your congressman cares more about what district you're from. They could care less about how many negative. Do you think AOC cares about how many negative posts she gets from conservative states?
No.
She only cares about the New York county that puts her in office. So Congress could care less what you think. Why do we have a divided country? Because they only focus on making their own people happy. And if they're making them happy, they'll be back in. So you got to focus locally like you do nationally. That's where education, yeah, Ivy League, we do need to change those. But let's go talk local with your own school board. You're talking about the federal government, forget it. Go to your mayor's office, go to your town council, go to your city council. We have to become more sophisticated understanding the anatomy of power and realizing you can do something locally other than talk about the Supreme Court. Forget the Supreme Court. What's your local court?
Well, and that goes to the Dunkirk analogy. The big destroyers could not get into the shallow harbor of Dunkirk. It took the little ships. And frankly, that's what people are revolting on. Don't put me one size fits all. Don't give me your California principles of how to run my school. I want to have my say. I want my children educated with our values because it's very different in California. I lived in California. It's very different in California than it is in Texas. And yet our model is winning. And so people are leaving California coming to Texas.
When you say
it's
very different in California, is it very different in terms of the way the people are, or is it very different in terms of the way the system is?
The way the system works.
Okay.
Well, you go to the center of California, central California, and they're very conservative, God-fearing, God-loving people. And there are probably more Christians in Los Angeles than any city, you know, any other city, because even though they're a minority, they have no control of the seat of government. But there are so many believers in Los Angeles, but the system is rigged against them.
So in terms of the movement you've got, when you are trying to mobilize, how do people locally best focus their energy to change policy in a state for your pirate money theory?
We put a website up called transactionalgold.com where you can go and see what's happening in your individual state. And it's happening. I mean,
what will that tell you in your state?
Pardon me?
Like if I go for Texas, what will it show me?
It's going to show you that Mark DeRazer has filed legislation in the next session. It's going to tell you we may have put up there Tan Parker's the new Senate Majority Leader, and he's in favor of what we're doing. It's going to tell you as the legislation is progressing, where we're going to have hearings if you want to show up for hearings. If you go to Florida, it's going to tell you Jimmy Patronis, the state chief financial officer, it's the treasurer of the state, how he issued a $200,000 study to see if we could do it. Or if you go to Utah, you'll see Marla Oaks, the treasurer, is behind this. And we have three dozen states that are really interested in doing this, some very far along, like Oklahoma and Texas and Louisiana and Florida and Alaska and Kansas and Iowa. So many different states are doing this.
I wonder if we don't need a similar map scoreboard for what's happening with education in your state.
I think it's a brilliant idea. We need to take this to the local level and then give people a way they can plug in.
That's what I'm thinking.
We should work on this together. The Lance Wallnau Show and Pirate Money Radio and Economic War Room.
No, we'll do it. And then and deliver a report every week.
That would be fantastic.
How are we reforming economics and education at the local level? Because these are going to be sheep or goat states. Hey, we were heading there. By the way, I was listening to like one of the futurists that helped to write the fourth turning book.
Yeah.
And he was on a show. And I guess it was Patrick Ben-David was asking him, say, are we heading towards a civil war in the United States? Remember that? We're not hearing that now, are we? Because when if you got the civil people living, there won't be a civil war. The reality is that we're already in it. If you look at how people are migrating, people are leaving blue states to go to red. People are leaving red to go to blue.
That's true.
You will end up being more comfortable within a culture that resonates with what you like, trust, and believe. And so if you're looking at it, so the government's already having an early phase of its breaking apart. The difference is the map with Trump's victory
if more
suggests,
governments than Verizon is what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. It suggests to me the blue is actually getting more isolated, but the congressional map in the midterms is where I want to focus next. If we don't have our people show up and treat that like Dunkirk, we will get kneecapped in 18 months. We actually have to mobilize our ecclesia, our people, our movement has got to be ready for the midterm battle.
The election has to have been a wake-up call and not a go-to-sleep snooze button. And that, unfortunately, in 2016, we had a big election and a lot of people hit the snooze button. It's okay. Everything's okay. All right. Lance, it's been great having you on
Always
Pirate
good,
Money
my
Radio.
Friend.
Thank
God
you
bless
so much.
You.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to, actually, Lance's sidekick, Mercedes Sparks, who's a wonderful friend, and she's going to tell us, you know, what it's like working with Dr. Lance Wallnau on a day-to-day basis. We'll be right back after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Before the break, we had the opportunity to talk with Dr. Lance Wallnau. I mean, he's a dear friend, he's a neighbor, he's a great guy, but you want to know why he's great. When you watch him, you will see the incredible, incomparable Mercedes Sparks, who works side by side with him. She makes him look good, and he sitting next to her makes her look better. So, anyway, Mercedes,
I love that intro.
Welcome to Pirate Money Radio.
Hey, I'm excited to be here. I watch you guys on TikTok, and so I'm always tuning in.
You know, you got to say, our daughter Madison, Marnie's and my daughter Madison, got us onto TikTok. I was like, no, get on there. But it's been really good for us.
Right?
And a lot of people see us because of that. And you were one of the voices that, yeah, you got to do it.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't long ago we were in Gwinnett, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And we were praying for President Trump, former president, and before he was president-elect.
Yeah.
And it was a great, and you sent us some photos of that. Those are really cool. Thank you for the photos that
you
sent.
Yeah.
But we were in that crowd. We've seen a lot change since then, just a few weeks.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So much has been happening. You know, you were telling me earlier, you're talking with Lance about having a retreat done, and we have to figure out, we've gone from defense mode, now we're into offense mode.
Exactly.
So how are we going to take territory? The walls of Jericho just fell down. It's time to advance now. And so there's so many different arenas that we are planning to advance in. And I love what you guys are doing with Pirate Money economically.
You were at our first summit, and you were there, and you pulled out your Glint card.
Yeah.
And they were showing it off. Yeah, that was pretty fun. You were an early adopter of the concept.
Oh, yeah.
And you've been a big promoter on Lance's show and so forth.
Definitely. Yeah, well, I remember going to the first summit. It's, again, powerful concept, right? The idea of transactional gold, being able to buy and sell with gold, competing and protecting against CBDCs, central bank digital currencies. So I'm an early adopter of things, all things AI, all things crypto. And so when I saw the Glint card, I thought, oh, this is amazing. This is brilliant. Also, it's great because, you know, when you're promoting other larger gold companies, there's like a minimum buy-in. With something like Glint, it's a really easy way for everyday normal Americans just to get access to gold. And the idea of doing business with it is so unique. So it's a 100% proof of concept for what you guys are doing.
Right.
Yeah.
And we don't promote Glint. They don't sponsor our program or anything else. But it is proof of concept.
It is.
But what if it were done by the state of Texas and it were done with a Texan card and the gold was held in Texas? And when you spent it, you had the trust of the state. You didn't have capital gains taxes. And there's no way the federal government could take it from you. That's the message of Pirate Monkey.
Exactly. No, it's powerful. And then to think about, and you've talked about this, but how much more valuable does gold become when you're actually able to transact in it and not be taxed at an insane, 33%?
Yeah, it's the top capital gains tax rate.
Yeah.
So we had a guy come up by our booth at Amfest and he said, how does that work? So I pulled out my Glint card, I bought gold, and I went over and bought him a banana at the concession stand. That was a $3 banana.
Oh, sure.
And he said, wow, you didn't have to do that. I said, well, the hard part was I'm going to have to pay capital gains now. I have to report my capital gains between my purchase and sale. But hey, we're talking about state-based solutions. And Lance was talking about we've got to get in education. We've got to get in all these. I love the analogy of landing at D-Day at Normandy.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not going to be the federal government that does it. It's got to be local. It's got to be real people activated. I remember 8 years ago, Trump got elected. Everybody said, good, I can go back to sleep. I don't have to worry about this anymore. And they went back to sleep and look what happened.
Yeah. Well, and you can see that even from the Supreme Court level, that at a federal level, it's being made clear judicially that it's going back to states, that it's turning into states' rights, 10th Amendment type of issues. And so 100%. And it's not just in education, but we're talking about across the board. I mean, right to life. I mean, the pro-life movement is a state-by-state issue that the pro-life movement isn't even aware of, like right now. Like by and large, I think the church thinks we won pro-life. Like, no, it is now state-by-state. And you're seeing amendments, ballot initiatives being brought in election after election, that parental rights, everything is coming back to a state level. So all the more, why shouldn't Texas, why shouldn't Florida be a forerunner in an offensive way to protect against big banks, big government, big federal spending, that the states should be positioning themselves to be the heroes right now for the everyday average American.
And we're seeing people move from California to Texas or Florida or Arizona or other states. But we're also seeing people go the opposite direction. It's kind of a separating of wheat and tares in a sense. Or he used the analogy, sheep states and goat states.
Oh, yeah. That's a Lanceism, a sheep state and a goat state. I mean, we have, you know, I don't know if you remember the gentleman. He was he's a Texan. His wife essentially trafficked their child boy, brought him to California. He's been fighting for legal custody. She says he wants to have a sex transition. The judge in California just ruled that he could be castrated, this child.
Oh, my goodness.
And under the guise of the mom's indoctrination. I mean, and you're talking about almost safe haven states for a woke agenda.
They are, but the woke states are getting smaller. So you look at the map where Trump won, it looks like a Verizon map, only it's better coverage.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. And like, I think when we talk about what needs to be done these next 4 years, I mean, how do we take purple states, turn them red? How do we make red states redder? How do we codify it in law? How do we do that through legislation? I mean, those are the types of things that, you know, if you have this much influence in any of the seven mountains, that's how you should be thinking.
And, you know, money is at the heart of most of those issues. Jesus said in Luke 16:11, if you're not faithful with your unrighteous mammon, you'll never be trusted with true riches. If we want liberty and security and values, you know, and I mentioned Verizon, but I want you to know, Patriot Mobile is a sponsor of this program. There's only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile is a mobile phone company. They support the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and they operate on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And you know the people at Patriot Mobile.
Love Patriot Mobile.
You learn more, go there.
Yeah.
But we're facing a real cultural challenge. We're facing an economic challenge. We're facing a political challenge, and we're seeing that division. What gives you hope, Mercedes? We've been around all these young people.
Yeah.
What's giving you hope here?
I think oftentimes a move of God is predicated on an advancement in technology. So the inventing of the printing press.
Wait, stop a second. Yeah? What did you just say? A move of God is predicated on?
An advancement in technology.
Advancement. I've never heard that. Explain that.
Well, you kind of look at things like the invention of the printing press and then Bibles being able to get into everyday hands, right? And so when you look at all the innovation that's happening culturally right now with AI, video, also, and like what we're talking about here with the inclusion of like of a digital type of a currency.
Because I'm thinking J. Vernon McGee and radio, and then I'm thinking television, the great television ministry.
Yes.
And the internet. So you're blowing my mind. This is great.
So I think we're on the cusp of a giant move of God. And how do these advancements protect our God-given personal liberties? And then how do we then turn around and use them to share and advance the gospel?
But they can also threaten our God-given liberties. So we have to take that mountain, so to speak, to pull another Lancism.
Yes.
We got to grab that mountain. Technology is an important one, isn't it?
It is. No, it really is. But there is such opportunity right now. Like now, we could take you right now. We could take this whole conversation and put it through something called like 11 Labs. And 11 Labs will take it and translate it. It'll be your voice. Which is, again, a little dystopian to a certain extent.
It is.
But it will take your voice and you'll sound German and your lips will move and sync up in German. It could take it and you could be speaking in Indian.
I didn't know I spoke German. That's cool.
It's so neat. I know. But think about the potential to reach people with truth in their own language and their own tongue.
Star Trek translator. That's
exactly
what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Universal translator. Exactly. I know. Big nerds here with the Star Trek. But there's such opportunity. And the only other thing I would say, too, like what I really see coming that I have a lot of hope for is that I believe the church is waking up. And I'm going to say a couple of things. I believe that biblical Jesus is about to stand up and make himself known and not be counted with all the false Christs in the body right now.
I don't want AI Jesus. I want biblical Jesus.
Biblical Jesus. But we have woke Jesus. We have political Jesus. We have self-help Jesus. You know, that masquerade as biblical Jesus. And I think he's about to stand up and say, actually, no, that's not who I am. And so we have biblical Jesus. I think that God is about to change the cruise ship mentality of modern day church, especially American church, and transform it into the cultural battleship that it's intended to be. I think that that's coming in the next 4 years.
Well, that's powerful. I just did an interview with Liberty's Freedom, Standing for Freedom Center. And they asked me, what's the weakness in the church? And I says, the pulpit, everybody's going to always have itching ears. That's reality of humanity. But you've got to stand up for biblical truth. And they said, what does that mean? I said, well, we want to hear gentle Jesus, meek and mild, and he loves everybody and loves everything. And he does love everybody. The Jesus that saw the woman committed an act of adultery getting caught and the love and compassion he had for her is also the Jesus that formed and fashioned a bull's whip that takes hours to do and drove the money changers out of the temple. So he has compassion on the individual and love for the individual, but he hates things that send little kids to hell.
Correct. Correct.
So if you take over entertainment and you tell them boys that they can be girls and all of that, Jesus is not good with that. They said, the other question was, Jesus doesn't ask you, that's Old Testament, to repent. That's Old Testament. Read Revelation. Five of the seven churches were told to repent.
Wow.
One was faithful and one was persecuted and the other five were told to repent.
Wow. Well, and you know, the other great thing about the Bible is that it defines for us love, right? Like when people want to come at you and say, oh, Jesus is love. He's all love. Well, great. You know, Corinthians defines for us love, you know, does not rejoice. Or love is true. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It isn't proud. It isn't rude. It isn't self-seeking. Love keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not rejoice with iniquity, but rejoices with the truth. And so when you have Gay Pride Month in June and they're saying celebrate, celebrate. No, it does not rejoice with iniquity. It's not rejoicing with sin, but it rejoices with truth. So we speak truth, we speak it in love. And so I'm so thankful to the Lord that he defines for us what that is.
Well, even the term pride, I grew up, pride is a sin. Pride is a sin I deal with sometimes. I'm like, oh, I did really good at that. And then I realized, you know, I'm judging by my standard and not by God's standard. You look at God's perfection, there's not really much to be prideful for.
Sure. Yeah. And I would say to go back to the whole false Christ idea and God changing his church, the word like I would give caution wise is that for a season, it's going to look like disunity in the body. But the reality is you can't have unity with a false Christ. You can only have unity with biblical Jesus. And so as all of this emerges, the last thing that gives me hope is I look at people like a Barry Maguire, and there's this young guy, Bryce, I watch on TikTok. And I have another good friend, Gordon Pennington. And God has gripped these men with zeal to share their faith and to evangelize. And so I am excited about that.
You know, we just had Barry Maguire here for an interview. He's a good friend. And Mercedes, thank you so much for being part of Pirate Money Radio.
Happy to be here.
All right, we're going to have to take another break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with the great Gene Bailey from Flashpoint. I mean, it's a superstar lineup here. Lance, Mercedes, and Gene Bailey. We'll be right back with him right after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Our gathering of Texans at AmFest continues. We had Lance Wall now, then we had Mercedes Sparks, and now we've got the great Gene Bailey and from Flashpoint. And Gene, it's exciting to have you on our program.
Oh, man, it's great to be here. Yeah, I like being on this side. This is comforting.
Yeah, no, I've loved
it. It's hard for me not to ask you questions, though, so I'll
hold that.
Yeah,
Lance was stepping into that a little bit, too.
Yeah.
The first time we met, first time I was in Flashpoint, was January 6th. And
that's right.
And I was with Michelle Bachman and Frank Gaffney and all that.
Yep.
We were talking about the craziness at the Capitol. Well, that's changed since then, politically.
Boy, it has and it hasn't. You know, there's been a lot of happening with J6. Hopefully, things will continue to go the right direction for freedom in America and doing the right thing.
Well, people ask me what gives me hope. One of the things that gives me hope is the Flashpoint Army.
Yeah.
Your people, started the transactional gold movement. You picked up on it. You've had me on several times to describe it. And you've broken our website. I don't know how many times.
You know, the funny thing is we're known for crashing website. We just crashed, Mike Lindell's Lindell Recovery Network. We crashed that site this past week. So, yeah, it's been great. They are highly engaged. You know, what I've found, Kevin, is that when people know what to do, you make it simple enough, just go here, do that. If you believe with this, just go to do it. They'll go do it. The reality is most of us don't. It gets confusing and you don't know, or we make it too difficult, so you just don't do anything.
Well, and you pull great people in, like Lance Wall now, like Rick Green, like John Graves, all mutual friends. And you talk about, I hear so many people tell me, I get my news from Flashpoint.
Right.
You have become a source of news for people. Like some people listen to Joe Rogan, but you've got a big army. How did you get into that?
Well, it started in September 16th, 2020. The whole reality is I got a phone call from my boss saying, hey, you need to do something about this election or we're going to lose it. So we just started. I figured, oh, we'll do 6-8 weeks, and do a network show and make something happen and then be done. So there was never, this is how to not do a program. There
was
no market study, no whiteboard, no pre-production. This guy, I'm literally 24 hours later, we're on the air talking about. And that first time I thought, okay, we'll just start on Facebook for the first week to see how good it goes. And it would explode. And I'm like, wait a minute, there's no way that many people are watching on Facebook. Come on. And it was a staggering tens and tens of thousands were watching. And then we really caught a wave. People understood. I can tell you what it was Chris Wallace moderated one of the debates.
Yes.
If you remember that.
I do.
And at the end of that debate, there was the conservatives across America would figure it out. He's not a conservative. Wait a minute. Fox News is not what we thought it was, and we're not really getting, there was this sudden revelation of the new legacy news media wasn't giving you the truth. And of course, you can look at it from two perspectives, is that we just stepped in at the right time, but God opened the door and we were there.
That's how it always works, right?
And it's just like, I couldn't have planned it any better, but I would love to tell you, I had something to do with it, but I didn't.
Noah didn't go to college to learn to be a shipbuilder.
That's right.
But exactly. What is your background? How did you get into it?
Well, it's been television since the 70s. I was going to be an actor, and I was going down that path, loved it, and realized the real power was in television, to be behind the scenes. So my whole goal was producing and directing, which I did for many, many years all over the world, which was great. And got into, you know, a lot of startups and
building
a network.
But that's entertainment media.
Entertainment media, all that. And that was really, that was the goal. And then I would say probably 10 years ago, started doing more in front of the camera and being able to speak to, because I understood the medium of understanding how to get to the people, what people were interested in, timing, all that stuff. So,
but how did you get into news? News is a very different, I had
Flash
a friend.
Point.
You got thrown into the deep end.
Well, we were with the Victory Channel thinking of starting a news coverage. Now, that was in our, that we did plan that. And so we were working how to the best way to do news coverage. So we were going to, we had this nice long plan of ramping up news coverage and being able to start that. Well, everything happened, COVID happened, and President Trump decided at that time he was going to do an update. I don't know if you remember. Going to do an update every day at 4:00.
Right.
And so I thought, well, if he's doing an update, we need to be right behind him on the network. So we started doing that. And we were just doing what all hands on deck. We don't know what we're doing, but we're going to do something. And of course it grew. Then we realized there's an audience, there's an opening for real news. So we launched Victory News, and Flashpoint was led the way in that. Victory News came soon after to be able to give daily news of what's really happening. And listen, it's just taken off.
You've got a sense of timing and audience and so forth. That's great. I remember a friend in high school. His father was Ed Turner, who was tapped by Ted Turner to build CNN. And my friend Chris Turner went to work for CNN, was a war correspondent, all that. I remember learning all the planning and everything that took it. But you've got one move of God. And, you know, I don't know what your audience is compared to CNN. CNN is going down and Flashpoint is going up. I know
You know, all conservative media celebrated the recent demise of MSNBC tanking. Then you realize, well, that's not that much to, it's not that big a win. Look at how bad they were. I mean, it was shocking to be on so many outlets and have, listen, America has responded. And this is what they're saying. I don't trust you. You've lost the trust of the American people. That's why we take truth just like you do. We take the truth so seriously. And it's not easy, Kevin. There is so much misinformation, disinformation, all that out there. And now with AI, you got to really make sure what you're getting, what you're seeing is really what's really happening. And so there has to be a commitment to the truth. And that's where we are.
What I love, though, is you're going beyond. You're not just telling people, here are the facts, sit at home,
right,
go about your daily lives. You're saying, get involved and make a difference. You're as much a movement as you are a news
Absolutely.
Source.
And a lot of that started, Kevin, with I was a fan of Tucker when he was on Fox. I mean, I loved Tucker, and I'm like constantly left frustrated because I'm like, you told me everything's, the country's going to hell and this is horrible, but I don't know what I want to do something. So I felt like there's got to be people like me out there that just tell me what to go do. So given the news, but saying this is how we respond, I believe is what we really stepped into that niche that we were able to be. Yes, it's commentary. Yes, we're looking at it in the spirit of faith and what is the, in biblical standards, how does this all fit into scripture? Oddly enough, it really, really does. And we can see this is what God's doing. So we put all those things together, things really just exploded. And that's, we're giving people, I'm trying to produce news what I want to see, what I would watch.
Right. Let's do it unto others as you would have them do
you
unto
got
you.
It.
And you know what it is, too? I get frustrated with talking heads, I love Sean Hannity and so forth. But when we created our sister program, Economic War Room, we're a weekly show on Blaze. But every time we produce a show, we also produce an economic battle plan that has, here's what we covered.
Yeah,
here's
exactly.
Here's the links to prove it out. And then here's your action plan and your action steps. And Flashpoint, you do that every time you do a show, you have action steps, and people, they drive the phone lines or the internet lines or whatever. It's amazing.
It is amazing. It is amazing. They are highly, highly engaged, and I'm just humbled by it.
What's your favorite topic or show that's had an impact on you?
Wow, that's a tough one. You know, I think, you know, it's when we talk about the kids, I think when we...
Say it.
Jim Caviezel and Angel Studios, when we, you know, Sound of Freedom was coming out, and we really dug into that topic. It was an eye-opening, and I hate to say that was one of the favorites.
That's a hard topic.
But it was a hard topic, but you could feel the people going, oh my gosh, what is happening in America? What's happening in the world? And we didn't know, most of us didn't know it was really that bad. So it's when we get to those topics that really change, what's going to change the viewer at home? I have this viewer in my mind at home that as they're like me, they went to school, they didn't really pay attention in civics class, they don't really understand how government works. They just know something's wrong, Kevin. Something's not right. And so what do I do? I need to do something to fix it. Either I've got kids or grandkids. Tell me what to do. That's the guy or lady I want to talk to. Like you've got some financial, you've probably got some money, you know, you're a little bit older. I'm not trying to be Charlie Kirk. I mean, my audience is older, and that's great. It's going to take all of us. And I want to see them make a difference in their world. So that was one of the things was the Sound of Freedom. And we were talking about child trafficking, of course, the border. But then, you know, at the same time, I can say when we talked about transactional gold, I'm like, this hits everybody. This is something we all want to do. So I'm like, you saw what happened. I say, well, this is easy, guys. This affects us all. We got to protect our finances. We got to make sure we're not going to be looking at a zero bank balances everywhere. So let's get behind it. And that's what we did.
And I'm so grateful. So I think what you just described is more flashlight than flashpoint in a sense,
yeah.
Because you're shining a light for people to illuminate truth so they can know where do I find the door so I can go take action.
Yep.
And you're showing them the door. All right. We've got just a minute left. What gives Gene Bailey hope? We're here at Amfest. What gives you hope?
You know, when I see young people coming up and saying, I didn't watch your show, but my mom and dad did. And then I started watching. And I see so many, when I see the next generations coming up behind, that gives me great hope because I see people, the conservative movement just isn't a movement. What we're seeing is people turn back to God, yes, but they're also getting involved in the political structure of America. That's if we do that, man, we are good to go.
Yeah, absolutely right. If we're active only inside the church walls and don't go outside, we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. Flashpoint with Gene Bailey is helping people fulfill the Great Commission. It's illuminating what they need to know. It's activating them so they can go out and take the gospel to the world. I mean, it's not about politics. It's about Jesus. And that's
Amen.
What I love about Flashpoint. All right. This is Pirate Money Radio on American Family, AFR.net. You can get us. You can get us wherever you get your podcasts. And I want you to share this program. You can get it on Apple, Spotify. It doesn't matter where you get it. Share it. Tell people. We've got great people like Lance Wall now. Grateful for him. Grateful for Mercedes Parks. And especially grateful for Dean Bailey here. You can learn more at piratemoneyradio.com. Till next week, this is Kevin Freeman and Pirate Money Radio.